310 doesn't have a purport, so we'll carry on after that to 311. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Text 310. Shiram Yatada Divikara Vishesha Yoga Sanjayate Natutata Pritangasti Heto Yasambutam Apitata Samupaiti Karyat Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Translation. Milk changes into yogurt when mixed with a yogurt culture, but actually it is constitutionally nothing but milk. Similarly, Govinda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, assumes the form of Lord Shiva, Sambhu, for the special purpose of material transactions. I offer my obeisances at his lotus feet. This is a quotation from Brahma Samhita 5:45. And then text 311. Shiva Maya Shakti Sangita Mogunavesh. Maya Tita Gunatita Vishnu Paramesh. Shiva Maya Shakti Sangita Mogunavesh. Maya Tita Gunatita Vishnu Paramesh. Shiva Maya Shakti Sangotama Maya Tita Gunatita Vishnu Paramesh. Shiva Maya Shakti Sangita Magunavesh. Tita Gunatita Vishnu Paramesh. Shiva Maya Shakti Sangita Magunavesh. Matajis? Nipanavesh. Maya Tita Gunatita Vishnu Panamesh. Shiva Maya Shakti Sangita Magunavesh. Maya Tita Gunatita Vishnu Paramesh. Shiva, Lord Shiva, Maya Shakti Sangi, an associate of the external energy. Tamaha Guna Avesh, absorbed by the quality of ignorance. Maya Atita, transcendental to the external energy. Guna Atita, transcendental to the qualities of matter. Vishnu, Vishnu, Paramaisha, the Supreme Lord. Translation. Lord Shiva is an associate of the external energy. Therefore, he is absorbed in the material quality of darkness. Lord Vishnu is transcendental to Maya and the qualities of Maya. Therefore, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Vishnu is beyond the range of material manifestation, and he is not within the control of material energy. He is the Supreme Independent Personality of Godhead. This is admitted even by Sankaracharya, Narayana Paro Vyaktat, from the Gita Vasya. In his constitutional form, Shiva is a Mahabhagavat, a supreme devotee of the Lord. But because he accepts Maya's association, especially the quality of ignorance, he is not free from Maya's influence. Such an intimate association is completely absent in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Lord Shiva accepts Maya, but in the presence of Lord Vishnu, Maya does not exist. Consequently, Lord Shiva has to be considered a product of Maya. When Lord Shiva is free from Maya's influence, he is in the position of a Mahabhagavat, supreme devotee of the Lord. Vaishnavanam yata sambhu. Amagyan timarandasya ginangana shalakaya chakshurangalitam yena tasmai shi guruve namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stabitam Yenabhutale Swayam Rupakara Maya Dadatisva Padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gauru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation again. Lord Shiva is an associate of the external energy, therefore he is absorbed in material quality of darkness. Lord Vishnu is transcendental to Maya and the qualities of Maya. Therefore, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the context of this verse is shortly after Lord Chaitanya liberates Sanatan Goswami from prison, he gives him various instructions. And the instructions begin with explaining the eternal position of the living entity, the jiva. This is the method employed in all scriptures, that there's always a listener and there is always someone who is hearing. This is to give us an example of how we should associate. Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is listening to Krishna. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the whole book is a series of listener and speaker. Within one conversation, there's another conversation going on. Within that conversation, still another conversation. So he starts by instructing Sanatana Goswami about the living entity's relationship with Krishna, which is at present lost. And he explains how literature which glorifies God puts us on the right path to come back to God. Then he starts to describe the various incarnations of Godhead, that there are six different categories. And he describes how Mahavishnu is the master of the three modes. So at this point, he goes into the section about guna avatars. And he describes how Brahma becomes manifest. Brahma becomes manifest through Lord Vishnu looking for a living entity that is suitable to control the universe. When he finds such a living entity, he is given Shakti from Mahavishnu himself. So he's not exactly Mahavishnu, he's a living entity who is pious enough to continue the activities of the universe. After describing Lord Brahma, he describes Lord Shiva. So there are three tattvas present in the world. There's Vishnu tattva, Shiva tattva, and Jiva tattva. We fall into the category of the Jiva tattva. Obviously, Krishna, Vishnu, Balaram fall into Vishnu tattva. And then Shiva has his own tattva because he is of mixed quality. He is considered Vishnu, but also not Vishnu, Jiva, but also not Jiva. He differs from demigods in that demigods are not there eternally. This is just simply a designation. For example, like being a bank manager. You're not eternally the bank manager. At a certain point, you have to give up the job and go and retire or do something else. But Shiva is eternally Shiva. He's always in that position. So Lord Shiva is in control of tamagun. And the nature of tamagun is that such a person can argue endlessly without resource, without recourse to any literature. You can just argue because this is nature. Tamagun is depicted in black color. So black color symbolizes darkness and ignorance. Everyone is born in ignorance in this world. So we appear in this world under the color black, but we're supposed to live under the color white, which is that we're supposed to become brahminical by qualification, brahminical in our attitudes. So once Varna indicated the material nature he belonged to, so the ignorant were Sudras, the passionate were Kshatriyas, and in goodness were the Brahmanas. Previously in India it was understood that if you're born in ignorance, you just stay in ignorance your whole life. You're just cursed. So definitely Westerners fell under that category. You're born in ignorance, you die in ignorance. But Srila Prabhupada came to the West and he, in his very magnanimous way, taught us that even us, born in the deepest of ignorance, the ignorance that's prevalent in the West is even deeper than the ignorance prevalent in India, that we can be promoted to firstly the mode of goodness and then even beyond that. So let's take a closer look at Lord Shiva. If you look at the appearance of Lord Shiva, he has a crescent moon. He's always depicted with a crescent moon. So this is symbolic of perfect control of the mind because the moon represents clarity. The moon also controls the mind. I suppose most of you know that in mental institutions, mental asylums, when it's New Year's, a new moon, full moon, they actually tie down some of the patients because they go completely mad. And on the other scale, on the other end of the scale, you get people who become completely blissful. Sometimes if you're suddenly feeling completely ecstatic, go outside and look, you might see that it's full moon. Then the Ganga, which you see flowing from his head, in his hair, is symbolic of the nectar of immortality. Then he always sits, he's wearing a tiger skin and he sits on a tiger skin. This represents that he has become free from lust, material lust. Then he also always has serpents predicted on his body. This presents wisdom and eternity. Because snakes, if you don't kill them, they have very, very long lifespans. Srila Prabhupada once said that the cobra that's mentioned in Bhagavatam that was going to bite Parikshit Maharaj, he was actually a cobra that the cobras live for up to 100 years. And at that point, they develop some kind of mystic potency. They develop wings, and they can actually fly. He's also called Trilochana. Trilochana means that he has three eyes. The third eye is sometimes predicted over here, and it's half closed because he's in permanent meditation. Then he has three blue markings on his throat here. This is symbolic of the poison which he drank over the past time. So some followers of Lord Shiva, they like to smoke hashish and various things. In the fourth canto, Srila Prabhupada mentions that if you're going to follow Lord Shiva, then you have to do it properly. And when you read the description there, I won't go into detail because it's quite shocking. It's not detail for this class. But he mentions things that you should actually do if you're really following Shiva. And one of the things that he mentions is that you should drink poison if you want to smoke the hashish. You should also drink the poison. So his carrier is Nandi. And Nandi's specific service is to hush material nature so that Lord Shiva can always be meditating on Lord Vishnu. So Shiva originates from the forehead of Lord Brahma. You know the past time that Lord Brahma has four very, very elevated sons, the four Kumaras, they're eternally young and eternally brahmachari. So he instructed them to populate the world, and when they refused, he became exceedingly angry, and in his anger he manifested Rudra. So Rudra refers to tears, and at this point Brahma gave him this name. So he's worshipped as the supreme by some people, and he's described as the supreme in tamasic literatures. The tamasic literatures, the Matsya, Kurma, Linga, Shiva, and Skanda, and Agni Purana. So in Lord Shiva, we see perfect reciprocation also, because he worships Lord Vishnu as the supreme, but Lord Vishnu also worships him because he is such an elevated Vaishnav. It's written, conquered by the love of his devotee, Lord Krishna worships Lord Shiva just to glorify him. This comes from the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. So one of his expansions is Sukadev Goswami. This is very interesting. And the pastime of the appearance of Sukadev Goswami, Vedavyas was forming some big fire sacrifice, some big yagya, and he wanted to achieve so many potencies. But at that time, when Apsara came, Apsaras are heavenly damsels, she came there and she agitated the mind of Vedavyas. And upon her leaving, he was still very much agitated. And as a result, he dropped some semen into the fire. So when this was mixed, the product was Sukadev Goswami. He appears in Ram Lila as Hanuman. And finally, he has 55 attributes specifically. So living entities have up to 50 attributes. Krishna has 64. Living entities, the Jiva living entity can only have 50. I'll mention some of them. Beautiful limbs. You can look at yourself and see which ones apply. Beautiful limbs. Always speaks the truth. Has auspicious qualities. Beauty. Radiance. Radiance not so much prevalent except amongst devotees of the Lord. Strength. Youth. Very good linguist, means that he knows how to speak various languages and he knows how to use language. Pleasing speaker, eloquence, intelligence, very learned, good conversationalist, connoisseur. This word specifically sums up Krishna, because he really knows how to enjoy the best Mahaprasad, the best of everything actually. Clever. Clever not to be mixed with intelligence. Expert, he always has gratitude. He's very thankful to people for whatever they give him. He's thankful to his devotees. He's a keeper of vows. He has knowledge of time, place, and circumstance. So this comes from Krishna. This wasn't a concept of Srila Prabhupada. He sees through Shastra, and the last two is purity and self-control. So the five qualities extra that Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva both have is one's own divine form, omniscience. In other words, they're not bodily present everywhere, but they can make their qualities felt everywhere. In other words, Lord Brahma wants to do something and just, and it can happen. His quality is present throughout the universe. Eternal youth, Satchidananda, and the last one is he is the possessor of all mystic siddhis. So these five are owned by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. In closing the class, I just wanted to say a few words about this Madhva Purushottam. You've probably been given a class, yes? You probably already heard the glories of Purushottam month, but maybe some of you, okay, so maybe not everybody was present. So previously there were, I think, 12 months in the calendar, and suddenly no one knows where she came from, but another month appeared. And everybody cursed this month and hated this month, because in this month, if you perform any type of ritualistic activity for getting material benediction, it just doesn't work. So people in India who are attached to the Vedas, they want some material opulence. They want lots of children, nice house, etc., etc. And in this month, if you do austerity for that, it just doesn't work. So everybody was cursing this month. They didn't like this month. So she went to Mahavishnu and she explained her situation. She actually said that I'm really depressed. I'm on the point where I could commit suicide. That's how bad it is. So he says, wait. Don't be extreme. Let's go and see Lord Krishna. So they went to the spiritual world where they met with Lord Gopinath. And they explained this situation to Lord Krishna. So Lord Krishna told her, okay, relax. I'll give you a month that is extremely auspicious. And everybody will respect you. And if anybody doesn't respect you, there will be reactions. So this month is actually, if you read different scriptures, it gives different numbers, but some say 14, some say up to 100 times more powerful than Kartik. So when someone questioned Lord Krishna, how do we observe this month? His reply was specifically that you have to do three things. We have to chant Hare Krishna. We have to give some charity to a devotee, obviously. Giving mundane charity outside doesn't really work. And the last thing, who can guess what the last one is? That's there, but specifically Krishna mentions three things. The third thing is that one should bathe in a holy river. So in the absence of a holy river, they did this in Mauritius, they took some Ganga water, they put it into a lake, and the whole lake is considered Ganga water. So you take a bucket shower, you put some holy water, it's considered the same thing. So these three things should be done in this month. So those of you who are going to Ketan Mela, you're very fortunate because you'll be chanting Hare Krishna 12 hours a day. And the rest of us, we should try to either increase our rounds or increase our attendance in some kirtans. Other things that you can do as austerity is to sleep on the floor. You should eat on leaf plate. You can take some vow, it's a little bit late now, but for Indra's sake, for next time, like eating only fruit. Definitely one's eating should be cut in any of these auspicious months. And another thing that's mentioned is reading Astakams. You get Nityananda Astakam, and specifically the Jagannath Astakam is considered very auspicious in this month because the residence of Lord Jagannath is Purushottam Kshetra. And then one thing that's very easy that everybody can do, it will take you maybe 3 minutes every day. I can see some people. Is to read the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. This is called Purushottam Yoga. It's really a very short chapter. It will take three to four minutes. In closing, I would like to say thank you very much to everyone for the very warm welcome that I received when I came to Radhadesh. It was really heartwarming experience, and I hope to be able to give an opportunity to serve each one of you in some way. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Parvati is the eternal consort, and in some sense, what we understand from what Srila Prabhupada says here is that at points in time, he actually comes under her influence. And Srila Prabhupada actually says she is a product of Maya. Being a product of Maya means that you fall under that person's influence. Yes. Thank you. Yes. I think maybe Srila Prabhupada didn't want to give us too many shocks at once. It seems, I went and I actually looked all over the place and I haven't found Srila Prabhupada really mentioning Purushottama. But for interest's sake, this month appears every 3 years. Actually, Srila Prabhupada designed our day in such a way that we're doing these things all the time, anyway. Yes, probably. His residence is on top of Mount Kailash, so he has a planet from which he resides. The original Lord Shiva, of course, is the glance of Vishnu upon the material nature, impregnating the living entities, and then action begins. Yesterday I saw on the internet there's a place called Mount Kailash in India, and you can actually see an imprint of Lord Shiva. I think it's supposed to be his foot or something like that. Yes, Yes, it's very difficult. Srila Prabhupada gives an example of someone who goes to a music teacher, and the music teacher asks, have you done some lessons before? And the person says yes. So he gives a certain price, which is higher than the price of someone who's brand new, who hasn't, because he says to him that I have to unteach you all the bad things that you've learned. It's going to take longer. Similarly, in the Indian community, they've been worshipping demigods for a long time, and they don't really know that Lord Krishna is higher, that he's the supreme. So it's easier in one sense to preach to a Westerner, because everything's new to him. He doesn't know about demigods. You just tell him about Krishna, and he'll easily accept. So a lot of preaching has to be done in the Indian community. What we do in South Africa is we open lots of namahatas, and we invite, so the program runs every week. And we insist that whoever hosts the meeting has a proper ISKCON altar so people can see. And sometimes we have demigods at a lower level so that when you're preaching, when they come, you can explain the significance. But it's not easy at all, because Indians automatically, sometimes they don't even want to listen. They give a donation and bus. They've done their activity for the day. So, one devotee in Madhavendra Puri was saying to me that actually, because they know Krishna, we should actually introduce them to Lord Chaitanya, because Lord Chaitanya is completely new to them. And from Lord Chaitanya, they'll really get the mercy. It's a very sad thing that when you go to Indian houses, you can see superstars and demigods and everyone, but you never see Lord Chaitanya. Yes, Mataji. Simply speaking, in whatever you do in Kartik, you get 1,000 times benefit. So chanting one round is like chanting 1,000 rounds. Especially in Vrindavan, you get really extra benefit. So taking the lowest number that I heard, which is 14, then chanting one round in this month is like chanting 14,000 rounds. But Krishna really places stress on bathing in a holy place somehow. I think, like, even if we're not so heavily into these things, if we make a habit to increase our rounds or whatever, we should just make it, get into the habit of doing more rounds now and just doing it all the time, if we can. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.